hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show. com, brought to you proudly in partnership with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. Now, on the show, we have a whole bunch of Kiwi guests that basically nobody else in the world's ever heard of in a lot of sectors, debating and talking about ranges of different issues and that kind of thing. And one item that I wanted to particularly get into is truthers who are musicians. And we have one on the line for you today, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Jason Kerry. He's the lead singer of a very successful New Zealand band called Op Shop, and he joins us now from Auckland. Jason, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Vinnie. It's good to be here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, mate. Now, I wanted to ask you a little bit of something. I mean, you're a 2012-er, is that correct?
There's certain preparations I'm making, given the conversations that are going on out there around that date. Yes, I think I'd probably throw myself in that mix.
Mm-mm-mm. And of course, I mean, there's a whole bunch of other elements because you're a good friend of John Eisen from uncensored.co.nz. So reading the magazine kind of does fill you up with a lot of different things upon a broad spectrum. So you're aware of the New World Order and eugenics and all of that kind of stuff, eh?
Yeah, look, I'm aware of a lot of the discussions, and I don't know where my personal philosophy actually integrates into a lot of that stuff. It's as you say, there's a lot to actually take on board and a lot to digest and compress and make sense of. But I'm certainly aware of it. In fact, Jonathan's out there sitting on my deck eating sushi and drinking New Zealand kōkako coffee as we speak.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And your music itself, I mean, how long have you been playing?
I've been a performer and a lover of music since I remember jumping in bathtubs as a kid with other kids and using my family. So, man, it's hard to put a number on it because I've been around about 38 years or so, and I have been in bands for probably at least a good three quarters of that, or at least jamming away.
And and the debate within your band or your family, talking about these type of subjects can sometimes be a little can get a little bit hostile. Have you experienced anything like that?
Yeah, look, it's particularly within the band, and I wouldn't say that it's necessarily hostile, but it can certainly be polarizing for people who, aren't used to my, bunch and streams of stream of conscious type rants, and often they are what inform the songs, and occasionally when the guys do ask what the songs are about, and I tell them, they're not necessarily that excited about it. I think it's a bit kind of absurd and generally nonsensical at the least. But I think it's only fair to them for me to tell them what the songs are about that they do play.
Well, what's an example?
I noticed a long time ago, Jason, in fact, that listening to some of your music, I think it was No Ordinary Thing, one song I really, really liked, and you had a couple of lyrics, if we can liberate today, we can alleviate tomorrow. And
I love that.
Really liked that one, and I was thinking, yeah, this guy's onto something here. I think he knows a bit more than he's given away.
And I think when it comes to being a songwriter too, at the end of the day, it's about actually finding some escape. And as well as hopefully resonating with certain parts of people's psyche that, hope in a sense, give them an introduction.
All right. Our very special guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Jason Kerrison from Op Shop, and he joins us for a very short segment because he's got some meetings to go to later on. But he'll be back in this next segment coming up right after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. ladies and gentlemen, for the show that's all about the Godfather, it's the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinnie Eastwood Show. com. Our very special guest, an extremely talented musician and all-round good dude, Jason Garrison from Op Shop, joins us here on the line. Welcome back.
Hey, cheers, mate.
And Jason, you're the only reason Vinny didn't sing us in just then. He normally does.
That
but
what happens? Oh.
You should go up on the stage. I have operatic ambitions that must be restrained. Now,
well left.
yes.
Breaking
Tim. Now, we were talking over the break about kind of how you were sort of running your music, and you never really intended to go some sort of mainstream, but now that you kind of are, you know, you're sort of abusing the privilege.
yeah, and I think that's verbatim exactly what I said, and I do mean that too, that, you know, in New Zealand at least, we get touted as one of the being the bigger mainstream bands, and it just frustrates me that there's all this trite rubbish out there that actually sings about tits and ass so much that, you know, you forget what else is going on in the world, and it seems like a probably convenient distraction to, you know, if you're talking about elite groups who would prefer that you didn't think about them, you know, that you were thinking about tits and ass and more often. But and, you know, who doesn't want to by being human, to be fair? But at the end of the day, there's some other important things too, and I just think it behooves us to at least be a catalyst for some of those conversations.
Well, wading in here, I mean, that's how this elite, we'll just say they for now, really sort of co-opt our consciousness, isn't it, by playing upon our human desires anyway. So we all have these sexual urges, and so they just, you know, play upon that. Or we all have now what could be expressed as monetary urges, greed, or just need, and so they play upon that also. And so that's what they do. They accentuate things so they can have more for them and less for us, I suppose. But you're trying to put the balance out there, and well done.
Yeah, well, I think, as you mentioned before, it's responsibility. I think it's the responsibility of the artists in civilization to reflect what's going on for them, and that's what's going on for me. And I'd also want to say that I don't want to make necessarily the people who do write that other music wrong either, because look, I enjoy it for what it is, but at the same time, I think there needs to be a balance of out there on the radio waves of what it is that influences us as artists. And to me, look, I think it comes from the context that human society has found itself at a moment in time where an unprecedented number of cultures are. And, you know, coming back to talking about the 2012 phenomena and predicting this end time. And for me, I think that's way more important than, and don't get me wrong, hey, look, I love dancing, and what we've actually tried to do through this latest record is actually make it a bit more accessible, a bit more groovy, a bit more dance-oriented, so that people suddenly find themselves hooked on the music. But then if they start listening to the lyrics, they might find themselves in the realm of prophecy and tradition and insight, hopefully.
Using subliminal messages on the audience, eh, Jason? Good on you. Well, it reminds me of a conversation in a film called Human Traffic. Have you seen this film?
Oh, years ago, yeah.
You know, sitting around a table and saying how the music we love brought us together, and so did the music we hate. And they rattle off all these mainstream bands. And he says, "What really gets me is that these talentless sods they have this international audience, and they can say something really profound instead of 'Ooh, baby, I'm all alone on the phone. I'm 14 years old with a broken heart.' You know, it's just cheese on toast, bollocks, mate. You know." And that really kind of polarized for me exactly what music really should be about, because it is, like, for example, back in the 60s, there was a big, big movement in many, many different fields where musicians were really getting involved in movements to the extent possible, and were really revitalizing them. And that's why I wanted to kind of bring you on the show, and why we've had a few MCs and things like that on the show already, is because I think we need to really bring that sort of spirit of resistance and music working together back into our society, because it's missing it right now, I think.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. And look, I guess it's nice to know that there are people like yourselves that acknowledge us as being that emerging part of that emerging culture, at least too. And you know, it seems to me, and just in this conversation, that it's almost like a modern day shamanism is occurring, and there really is this renaissance going on of shamanism, at least too. And we might as well use the web. We might as well use the broadcasters as well to. You know, to incite these kinds of these thoughts and provocations, and who knows what kind of reactions they'll cause, but someone needs to have them out there.
Well, for you, Jason, I'm interested. What do you see as kind of worrying in the world, or maybe even in New Zealand, and what do you see as positive that's emerging? I mean, what are the big issues for you in the world?
I think the biggest thing for us is a lack of stewardship for our planet Earth. That is the that's the key thing for me that is disturbing, that we're not looking after our planet. There's something like we're trying to dredge up some info. I think it's like 75% of genetic diversity of agricultural crops has been lost. 75% of the world's fisheries are now fully or overexploited. You've got up to 70% of the world's known species risking extinction if the global temperatures rise by something like 3 degrees or 3.5 degrees. What else? Every second there's a parcel of rainforest the size of a football field that disappears. It just goes on and on. You know, there's a third of reef-building corals around the world threatened with extinction. And, you know, not only that, there are the things we call humans that are living on it too, that obviously we all have an affinity for and we'd like to live through into whatever the next age is. But we have to look after the planet that looks after us. And that's really my main concern. And it's about trying to stir or provoke people about being aware of that, and then at that point it's then up to them, and hopefully really all I do is act as the conduit to realize those connections. So those are the things that I think are frustrating for me mostly, but where I think we are going, I think what's exciting for us is that this thing that we're calling, you know, that the popular culture is calling the end of the world, you know, this apocalypse, this 2012 thing, it's actually, you know, depending on whatever your perception is, wherever you want to take all the information and you know, however you process that for yourself, it's fine. But for me, I would rather take the, the evolution, the collective evolution path, you know, where we're going from an information age, I think, into a wisdom age. And of course, I think where we're at is this fork in the road. But either way, I think it's a great and empowering time to be alive. And in terms of how I put this into my music with the band, it's as much, you know, I'm not here to proselytize necessarily, but because this record is, it's as much remembering for me personally this human connection to the divine as it is a literal an archive of where I see our society and our participatory nature of our lives as co-creators here on Earth. So I think we're all living for a purpose, and we just need to be awake for it.
It's like basically we're kind of like the executive producers of the planet sort of thing. Speaking of which, we've got a comment in here from our executive producer. He wants to know what you think about Lady Gaga's new perfume that smells like blood.
And does it really?
Yeah.
From the blood of like young children or something? I don't know. Where does that blood, where does that come from? Where does that essence come from? You've got to wonder.
It reminds me of that film Perfume, where the guy kills the most beautiful girls and then he extracts their essence by covering them with wax and then makes these really, really nice perfumes. So the stuff is like sick, man. And then here we have it right here, Mr. Gaga himself.
Look, Lady Gaga's got some good Illuminati connections. They get
here's blood every day. How do I buy options? How do I buy shares and stock in there? That's going to go off. I have to make that part of my portfolio.
But that's the thing, Jason. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, that we need to take part. We need to take care of our planet because, you know, what's better for our planet is better for us in the same way what's better for the man down the street is better for me. And we're living in a toxic world, a poison world. We've got PCBs everywhere. Our whole biochemistry is going out of sync. We've got plastics in our food and water, poisons that the government says are safe, like fluoride and aspartame. And there really needs to be a consciousness shift. There really needs to be an awakening of the consciousness to get away from this. But I feel that, like you said, we have this rote learning society, this repeat after me society of so-called knowledge propaganda, instead of wisdom, and therefore people don't recognize the consciousness.
Yeah, and I think it's my duty as an artist to reflect that. And look, and if people don't want to see it, then that's their choice. And once again, I'm not here to proselytize. I'm not going to go stand on a soapbox and twist someone's arm to listen to it, but I will get in their face about it. But ultimately, it's going to be their decision. And I would just hope in my heart of hearts that we are moving through this bottleneck, this convergence into a more positive realm, a more, I guess you'd say, you know, where we're reorienting from a quantitative type of culture into more of a qualitative one. You know, because if we don't, mate, we've pushed this planet far beyond the limits of what's probably possible for it, and it's the planet, as far as I can tell, is about to push back unless we do something in this lifetime.
Mm. Yep, and everyone's just out to line their pockets, aren't they?
Yeah, I've got like three takes on 2012. You know, the first is the prophesized return of the destroyer. You know, where Planet Nibiru, Planet X, or whatever is going to come in close. The Earth's going to be knocked off its orbit by 23 degrees. There's going to be a big crack, runs around the Earth, big waves, big volcanoes, that kind of thing. Yeah. End of the world, 2012 type scenario in the movie. Yeah. The second one is it's all just a big psyop hoax to get everybody to stand down to the New World Order takeover. And the third take that I have on it is the Mayan interpretation. I believe this is one of the interpretations of it, is that it's going to be the end of time as we know it, meaning that everybody becomes sort of evolves to a different level. You know, we become smarter and we basically get our shit together for once, and we experience a new golden age of humanity. Now, I like that one better, but
I think the one thing that's guaranteed, though, and that people should be wary of, is that the people in power in this world, and you know, going back into what we're talking about with our previous guests, the occult powers, the real secret societies that have leverage over the banking system and everything else, do know about this, and they do know about the shift that's occurring. That NASA has been analoging over a vast period of time now. Magnetic pole shift that's occurring. They know about all these things, and they could hijack and use this crisis as something for themselves to consolidate more power. So I think that's also something that humanity needs to be wary of. Like Project Bluebeam, you know, just a provocateur staged event, holographics in the sky, who knows?
I also think, though, look, we underestimate the power of our consciousness, and I think collectively, you know, it's the 144,000 type scenario, right? Get enough people on that wavelength, and we could all shift. You don't need everyone on the same line, and we live in a multi-dimensional world, as far as I can tell. Like, and it's not something we can go into quickly, but if you choose a particular path, as far as I can tell, it's very likely that that could potentially turn out. And for me, in terms of, you know, just going back to 2012, you know, you just need to look around you. The planet is in a state of upheaval. It's in a state of transition. And we did mention Nibiru, but see, I'm more along the line of the Mayan prophecies myself as well. And look, I don't know what's going to transpire. I have no idea. I don't have a crystal ball in front of me, but you know, as I think it's what's his name, Adrian Gilbert and Maurice Cottrell, they in the Mayan prophecies, it was really all about the end of the great cycle, coinciding with the culmination of a series of powerful sunspots, and the intensity of that magnetic flux would flip not only the sun's field, but also the earth, causing earthquakes and flooding on earth. And alongside that was also the claim that this magnetic field change would also alter, you know, we're getting into kind of fuzzy space here, but would alter that the pineal gland and affect hormone production. And because it's the pineal gland associated with the third eye, this would help us tune into like a theta type condition and adjusting the magnetic conditions on the planet and further evolve where we're at. And I remember even 12 years ago reading a paper by Alexei Dmitriev, who is a Russian astrophysicist, talking about how the whole solar system is actually in a highly charged part of interstellar space. And that's actually what's heading, that's, you know, that whole mechanism is what was largely due to the reason for the influx in the energy, not only in the sun, but as you can see with all the planets on in the solar system as well. So there's so many facets, I guess, is what the point is. And it's really difficult to try and, well, for me at least, to try and pin down where exactly to orient myself amongst all the information. But at the end of the day, I think it comes down to a personal choice about how you want to orient yourself spiritually. Are you interested in qualitative or quantitative?
The difficult thing, though, Jason, is that sometimes, or a lot of the time, in fact, our choices are being influenced by factors outside of our control or even our perception.
Like Gaga.
And that's a dangerous thing, you know, because like you're saying about the pineal gland, well, you know, we got studies going back to the 20s from the British that showed fluoride to actively suppress and even calcify the thalamus and hypothalamus, and then the Nazis used this, and now John Key uses this on us, and this is really sad because we're cutting down the little shoots of the children before they have time to develop, and this has happened to myself, and this has happened to all of us, and it's kind of sad.
And yet, isn't the revelation, if you like, the unveiling that you're able to tell me about this versus not knowing? And so hopefully there are other people who actually take insight from this and may not drink the water that is fluoridated, or a myriad of other possibilities. I think the choice ultimately has to be ours.
The human spirit is an unstoppable force, is it not?
Yeah, it's like I was talking to a guy at a party the other night. It's like the human spirit is the wild card. You are the individual. You have the biggest part to play. It doesn't matter how big the powerful the collective is. An individual can always rise above it and change it all. Now, I'm not sure how much time you've got to stay with us, Jason, but hopefully you might be back with us after the break. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest is Jason Kerrison from Op Shop, and we'll be right back at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a fabulous musical pontification hour on the Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in partnership with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Our very, very extra special guest with sauce on top is Jason Kerrison from Op Shop. Welcome back, mate.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Oh, yeah. Now, you've got to go in about 10 minutes, so you'll be gone halfway through this segment. So I just kind of wanted to pick your brain a little bit. The system itself, it's, as you sort of said over the break, that it's kind of corroding. And in the meantime, basically, we just kind of have to create a new system and let the old one collapse and then replace it when it does.
Yeah, I don't know if I put it that well. I just don't see it being... It occurs that if we treat it like that, then it's always a separatist situation versus being integrated, and I don't think it helps to be to treat it as an oppositional process. I think it's best for just to create the scaffolding for making the transition. You know, organising communities, relocalising food production, reskilling, using alternative energy systems. You know, we have to actually be participatory and active in bringing about transformation ourselves as we move forward out of these. You know, we're going, depending on where your perspective is in peak oil, but it certainly occurs to me that at the very least, these energy systems certainly aren't working. So,
I mean, I think the problem occurs, Jason, where we try and set up community gardens, or we try and get off the grid. I mean, you try and get your own water tank system in Auckland, and and then it ends up being a combative, a confrontational process because of the state's power, because they don't want people to become independent. Ultimately, they passed S510 in the states. They're trying to ban food production. So Monsanto has all the contracts, and they're doing what they're doing to the seed stock, whilst the UN has these big seed vaults at the South Pole and whatnot. I mean, it just becomes a confrontational thing because the government just doesn't want to give you any, you know, any inch.
Yeah, yeah, and if the government did perhaps give you freedom, then of course you'd be lathered with tons of responsibility.
You don't want that. Yeah, look, I just come down once again to the fact that we touched on before, and that is ultimately the human being is the wild card. I just refuse to participate in the oppositional process. Look, for me personally, I've gone and set up a, you know, once again, lack of better phrase, of a 2012 community, but at least it communicates some of the reasons why we're getting off the grid. But it is going to be a transitional phase for us. You know, we are literally setting up these amazing situations up in where are we? We're Kaitaia. So in New Zealand, Kaitaia is very, very close to the tip of the North Island, and we're about 30 k's from there. But we're equally about 4.5-5 hours away from our biggest city. So look, we're finding our own little space. We're literally just going up into the hills. And we're keeping a focus on our key design criteria. We're trusting that there's a collective genius of the community that enables this feasible and practicable and highly inventive solution to emerge. So that's what we're doing. We're not going to sit back and wait for someone else to do the work.
Exactly. You're just taking charge of your own destiny and just surround yourself with good people and wholesomeness and let the rest happen, huh?
Yeah, that's it, man. Well, you know, that's it. I just firmly believe that we have to be absolutely participatory and active in bringing about this transformation that we're talking about, whereas we always seem to come up against it when we go into this, as you say, and it certainly seems like an oppositional process when you hit them at that level, when you engage at that level.
Well, I would think that any time when you surround yourself with an environment of intelligent people who talk about interesting stuff all the time, who are really open and very loving and very caring, you become an intelligent, open, loving, caring person. You know, it's very, very difficult to kind of go against the grain. And I think this is kind of the opposite of what happens just in general, is that we're surrounded by people who, you know, basically they don't have any what I would term as a value system. There is a value system, except it's based on paper that's made up out of thin air and backed by nothing.
Oh, system.
And so therefore people's value systems are also backed by absolutely nothing. So how strong could they conceivably be?
Oh, because people are killing each other over dollar bills every day. I mean people are at each other's throats over this fiat currency every single day. And yet there's no caring about any of the human universe. You know, they don't have similar care for human universals and planetary universals. And it really is sad. I mean, I there needs to be a shift. I mean, if there's not, we're in trouble.
I mean, for me, I feel like we're going through that shift. It feels like we're having those we're up against it now. And it really is a time now where this is the window of opportunity. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Daniel Pinchbeck, but you know, I agree with him in that this is the window of opportunity to catalyze a shift in a complete and absolute global consciousness and society. But it's only going to happen if we engage at the level we choose to engage in. If we start, if we are stopped by this oppositional process, then you know, we need to reorient and just get on with it.
I think that's about right, isn't it? You know, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, trying to make some description of progress, it would stand to reason that actually doing something to try and affect progress rather than just complaining about how little progress there is, I think it'd probably be far more effective. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly the point. And so for us, we've decided to basically build ourselves the ultimate batch. The batch in New Zealand is, or crib. It's, the ultimate safe home. And hopefully it's the ultimate safe home. Equally, hopefully it's as good as a shelter system, climate protection, self-sustainability. It's grid positive. It's fire retardant, hurricane and tornado proof. I think we've got coming the third or fourth hurricane of the season for this year in New Zealand, which is, I don't know if that's unprecedented, but I can't recall that ever having been the case. And so for us, look, we just want to be fully contained. We want to look after each other. We want to, make use of the natural renewable resources in our surrounding area and not be restricted necessarily by these other conventions. And so the idea is obviously to have it fully self-contained, water storage, the septic systems, the plumbing, the food storage, the hydroponics, all the infiltration systems, the power generation, just literally being off the grid and being part of this, what I would call, and I think Pinchbeck actually mentioned it again, there's this transition network which is based in the UK, and a lot of communities are now getting involved in it as they see themselves moving through these difficult times.
Yeah, Transition Towns. I've done a video series for them as well. Well, Jason, I'd like to thank you profusely for coming on the show with us and sharing some of your valuable time, mate. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, it has been a pleasure. I really appreciate it. And you guys are doing some amazing work. So I want to acknowledge that as well and send that out to the ether and say thanks very much.
All right.
Hey, thank you, Jason.
All right. And do you have a website there for your new album yet?
Look, you can come and visit my band at www.opshopmusic.com. It's all one word.
All right, cool. We'll certainly send some people there and put the links up on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. If you're unfamiliar with Jason Kerrison's music, ladies and gentlemen, it's actually pretty badass, you know, and not in the Lady Gaga, I want to sacrifice children on stage sense of the word. or at least brilliant. I should hope not.
not yet, unless I've got a perfume to sell or something, but we'll see how we go, eh?
Yeah, let's just see if Jay-Z recruits you or something, you know.
Waiting for those Illuminati videos.
I've actually started doing the Illuminati sign these days too, just to drum up a bit of business.
Oh, yeah.
Good hands
on the dark side.
Well, thanks, guys. Have a great day, eh?
All right. You enjoy it. See you, mate.
See you later, bye.
All right, there he goes. Jason Kerrison, ladies and gentlemen, from Op Shop. All right. Well, that was a great interview, man. We enjoyed that.
Yeah. I think he leveled us both out for a little while, didn't he? Calmed us down.
You know, what's that about?
It works, though, doesn't he? He's hypnotizing. He's using his psychic NZ on air mind powers over us. But yeah. Yeah. No, seriously, I mean, I think we engage in a bit of both, though. I mean, we're talking about different forms of resistance. Go your own path, build your own communities, get off the grid. I mean, we're all for this. And sometimes maybe I don't say this enough. We're not just about bleating about the government. No, I hate John Key. No, I hate. We're about solutions also, but we just hope that you know that anyway. And you've already got some veggies out the back like I have, and you're trying to eat well and drink well and keep away from the megacorps and their poison as much as possible.